At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Archie, you ready to go? Recording, mate.
Yeah. But, mate, who's getting the first? Let's do a bit of advertising at the beginning, because I like the idea of starting a pod and we're just already getting cash in my pocket.
Well, I thought maybe we'd give it up to Fitzstairs this week, seeing as they've been
mate,
so wonderful.
Not a problem. That is not a hard sell. I was there Saturday watching the rugby.
You were there on Saturday at the club?
What a place. It's like the Ned of Mayfair.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, they do Michelin star food.
I've heard. I'm not allowed in.
Yeah, you wouldn't be. But it's probably the most premium place to watch sport, and you just gamble. I had Jamie George for two tries there.
You had Jamie George
down
for two tries.
I went there, spent money, and then they gave it back to me.
Right, so you actually left with more money than you arrived.
Yeah. And that's the way you should be conducting yourself in any venue you go to.
So you drunk fine wines, ate wonderful food, and made money.
Yeah, and there were some pretty elite individuals there. Handed out my business card to a number of people. So yeah, I would just definitely tell people to go there. But only people who've got enough coin
to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, apparently your sort of odd boost, your cousin's call, is still going.
Yeah, they're doing it. It's a 5-1 for...
You're like the face of the company now.
For Lions to win the three.
5-1.
5-1. And it's going to come.
Well, seeing as all tests are now been moved to Cape Town, there's no problem with altitude at Joburg.
Mate, it's happening.
Half the South Africa squad has still got coronavirus, including the head coach and the captain. 5-1 seems crazy odds to give away.
Yeah.
Did you come up with the odds yourself?
I have people working for me. People work for Fitzstairs, and then they just tell me what to say.
So guys, why wouldn't you want to take up that incredible offer? All you have to do is click the link in the bio or go on the Fitzstairs website under Rugby Union and take on this 5-1 incredible boosted odds from the cousins call. And also, if you ever find yourself in Mayfair wanting to watch live sport, drink the finest wines and eat Michelin star food, then there's no better place than the Fitzstairs Club.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 2 of the Lions Rig Biz Special. And we have another
Hello,
Lions legend
darkness,
waiting in the midst
friend.
To be unleashed. Archie, you alright?
Mate, mega lash.
What do you mean mega lash?
Mate, I had a mega lash this weekend and I'm just not right.
Things got too loose.
Sunday at the ship, mate. It's probably the biggest Super Sunday I've had since Weta's birthday. And my God, mate, the chassis feeling it, the head's feeling it. Yeah, productivity has been low and it's disappointing. And I've got to get back to melting the phones, smashing the gym and delivering chat.
So who are you there at the ship with? Can you give us a bit of an
insight? Well, put it this way.
Any big names or just you?
Just about. So I don't know if you know this, but when you live in the southwest of London and you get to 50,000 followers, which I have now, you get a call up from Paula Lima for a Sunday ship session.
Personal call?
Yeah, get a personal call. He says, come join me. You finally made it. So you can come join a mega lash at the ship. And that involved me, James Smith, PT.
Yeah, big name.
Big name. Dieran Cartel.
Yeah, DC, big guy, yeah.
Mate, big in the fitness game. I was there as well. I'm Instagram's hottest property right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then knocking about were some big names in the rugby world.
Well, even bigger than those guys.
Yeah. Joe Cockinessinger.
Oh,
Cockinessinger. Ollie Lawrence.
Yes, please.
Both the Joseph brothers, JJ and Will Joseph. Umaga.
Who am I getting?
Abano. I was chopping pints. Like they were going out of fashion.
It's like a feather's ball for famous people.
Yeah, just about. And I think, you know what? You could just see the look on everyone's face in the ship. They bloody appreciated me being there.
Really?
Yeah. Just my presence of me lashing in the ship, necking Guinness like it was water. Just made everyone feel good. And everyone was singing. I think that's because I was there.
It was the England Euros final. I think that's probably why they're singing.
Yeah, they were singing football songs, but
right, okay.
I thought they were singing because I was there. Everyone seemed very excited.
Okay.
I've been defeated.
I'm fascinated to know what James Smith PT and Lima's chass is like in real life.
Yeah, really
impressive.
Yeah, really impressive. And really annoying. I forgot to ask them about their resting heart rate. I've got to say, Fred, just getting back in the groove of delivering pitter-patter on the podcast makes me feel a lot better.
That's good. That's
good. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for me if I drink 50 pints or 2 pints. My chat is formidable.
So the rumours aren't true that they asked you to leave Smith and Lima?
No.
All right,
no,
I heard that we got a message on Instagram saying...
No, mate, I left on my own accord because I actually had a slow roast chicken that I had to get back for.
Right, okay.
But listen, mate, you know one thing we haven't done in a while is, and I think the listeners would really appreciate it, you know, majority of them are Clapham based, is we probably need to get in contact with a number of estate agents in the area.
Yes, okay.
And just... I'd like an update on the market.
Get an update, sort of a quarterly update on what's going on in Clapham.
Yeah, because, you know... I am going to buy a house soon.
You're making lots of money.
Yeah, I'm too much money. Why don't we just give them a call?
Let's go for it.
Hi, you're through to Cara at Fox and Battersea office. How can I help?
Oh, hi, Cara. I just wanted to know, really, in terms of, you know, what have you got on the market at the moment in sort of the Clapham common area?
Of course, and how many bedrooms, sort of roughly, just so then I can see whereabouts?
Just trying to think about it, mate. So probably 3 to 4, because I sort of have an office at home that, you know, I probably turn a bedroom into my mega office.
I mean, it sounds like quite a nice office to have. It must be.
Yeah, well, it would double down. It's like a gym slash sort of business, arena.
Of course, sort of a multi use.
I mean, what one thing I am quite particular is swimming pool, ideally.
And is that an essential?
Yeah, it is, kind of. Yeah,
a deal breaker.
Yeah, well, I think it would be, well, if not a swimming pool, room to build a swimming pool.
Okay, fantastic. And do you have any other requirements within this? I mean, are you strictly just looking in the Clapham area?
Yeah, only Clapham. I've lived here all my life. I wouldn't go anywhere else. It's certainly not to Putney.
Perfect. I'll pass on your details.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
Hi there, Knight Frank Wandsworth. Alan speaking.
Hi there. Oh, just sorry. Just can you bear with me? Someone's calling me on my work phone. Do you mind?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Tanya, hi. I'm very, very busy, but I've got to be quick. But you know Jennifer in HR? Yeah. Well, she's bloody pregnant again. Yeah. So can we sort something out? It's a nightmare. This is why I don't want to employ women. Okay. Anyway, all right. Take care. Okay, bye-bye. Sorry, carry on. I'm looking for a 1 to 2 million pound house in Clapham.
1 to 2 mil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so around the Clapham area?
Yeah.
Do you have it kind of particularly around like Abbeville?
Near the Common. I like to do a lot of exercise on the Common.
That's pretty desirable area because obviously you've got kind of buzzy Northcote Road.
Yeah, and I love Northcote Road. Bloody good lash down there. Really good lash.
Yeah. was there
yesterday, getting on it, I tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Bloody good atmosphere.
Yeah. See, well, that's the thing. So in that area, and if you are looking for maybe like a long-term house, you know, for kind of family and stuff, then there's brilliant schools around there as well.
Yeah. Definitely going to have kids at some point, I think.
Yeah. So if you are looking long-term... there, the value of property is always going to be, it's so desirable, that area.
I mean, one thing, look, I really do want outdoor space. I play rugby at a sort of semi-professional level, so I'd like to put some rugby posts in the garden to practice my my kicking. So I don't know whether that's possible. Look, and I don't need a full rugby pitch, you know, but I just need, I need an area to, you know, improve my place kicking.
Yeah. So I think your best bet, if you are looking for more garden space, is kind of moving over towards like Wandsworth Common area.
It's quite far from Clapham though. I mean, I'm sort of CEO of Clapham, so I need to be in the area quite a lot.
Oh, are you the CEO of Clapham?
Yeah.
Oh, you are hilarious. I follow you.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I'm an influencer as well.
Yeah, that's, love that.
Yeah. We've got the Rig Biz podcast.
I do listen to that.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely listen this week. I would definitely listen this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, that is exciting.
Yeah. Right. Well, look, lovely to speak to you. Thanks so much. Have a lovely evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Good afternoon, Winkworth. Christian speaking. How can I help?
Oh, Hi, good afternoon. Just calling. To get a real update on the Clapham area and house prices. I am slightly concerned, as I've seen these god awful people camping on the common, and I'm just slightly concerned is that going to bring down the house prices?
No, not at all. Right. No, that's not affecting the value of the homes.
Yeah, God.
They're just, hopefully they'll disappear.
Yeah, soon. God, they are bloody awful. I mean, I you'd imagine something like that at Glastonbury, but in Clapham Common, no thank you. Okay. And I mean, in terms of, the 4 to 5 bed houses, what have you got on at the moment?
At the moment, we've got one house on Fitzwilliam Road, just in the old town.
And brilliant, yeah.
It's a. Is
that near the sun?
Four bed at
near
the moment.
The sun?
Yes, not far from there.
Yeah, love. That's a bloody good area. The Triangle of Terror. Bloody good. It's a good challenge to try and survive a night doing all those pubs. I did it much back in the younger days, but I could still do it probably. But I'm actually feeling a bit worse and worse. I was at the Ship last night. God.
Yeah.
That place is bloody loose, mate. I tell you. I was chopping pints like it was going out of fashion.
Where are you living at the moment?
Well, I live in Clapham Old Town as well at the moment. I live near the Bobbin Pub, which again is a bloody good place for a pint.
Yeah. Do you live on Lillyshore?
Yeah, Lillyshore Road, yeah. Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. It's really,
I live on Rosall, just opposite.
Oh, brilliant. Well, mate, I tell you what, why don't we... Do you want to lock in a date for next week and we can go to the Bobbin and have a pint and chat property?
I do not. Next week I can't, purely because my girlfriend's coming over from America.
What about the week after?
We could definitely. Yeah, we might be able to, actually.
Cool. What's your name? I'll look you up on LinkedIn.
My name is Christian.
Christian, yeah.
Surname's Marcellia.
How do I pronounce that?
Marcellia.
Maracilia. Okay, I'll just probably call you Macho. It's a lot easier. Okay, well, listen, Macho, I will send you... I'll connect with you on LinkedIn, and then let's sort out a few ales in the Bobbin and we can just chat property. And I don't know if you'd like to invest and stuff, but I'm quite hot on the built-on market. So, if you need any tips on that, I can more than happy to give you my advice.
Fair enough. I look forward to it.
Okay, Macho. Cheers. Well, listen, love and champagne, mate. Love and champagne. Tiddle bit.
All right. See you soon. Bye.
Well, Archie, it's wonderful that you perked up again. And guess what?
Mate, feeling good. I'm
we
feeling ready.
We have got a legend of the game.
Oh, yes.
He's got blonde locks.
Probably one of the most recognisable people in rugby. Well, yeah, me and him.
Well, that's, I think, up for debate, Archie. But I actually, funny enough, didn't really recognise him because he's cut all his hair off.
Yeah, he's cut his hair off, yeah. That's why I very rarely touch my barnet.
Just leave it.
Because it, as much as my face is recognisable, my hair, my lid is what I'm known for.
Well, it's incredible that we've managed to finally crack the Inner Hebrides of Wales, because we had tried with Andy Powell 2 or 3 times, didn't come through, but Mr. Powell will be there
at
Monday
the live
night.
Pod.
Yeah. We're sending a driver to the Inner Hebrides of Wales.
Talking about mega lashes,
oh,
that is going to be
Yeah, you think you feel bad now, aren't you? Wait for a night out with Powley. He's already said he's coming back to yours and sleeping on the sofa.
Can't wait. Actually, we should probably set up the kettlebells the morning after.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure if he's still doing that.
Let's get bloody Hibbard in.
Yeah, sorry. He's in the waiting room.
Bring him in. It's great to have you on board. And by the way, the lid is looking superb, mate. Really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's knocked about 10 years off me at least.
Yeah, mate, I'm telling you, your last lid looked like you were sort of a backpacker traveling for many years, and now your haircut says I'm a businessman that earns a lot of coin.
Well, I want to have the latter bit.
Well, Hibsy, I was going to say, you had one of the most famous lids in rugby over the last 20 years. Where the hell has it gone? How come you got rid of it?
Two parts, really. I started to get a little bit older and it didn't look so good. Lockdown's killed it off as well, not getting to the hairdressers. And then my mate, teammate Greg Bateman, just started a great cause with his People Captain beer and his People Captains Foundation.
Yeah.
And he wanted to start it off with a bang and raise some cash.
Mate, so, great effort.
I'm sure Archie will donate.
Mate, you're looking good. I'm telling you, if you were a single man, you'd be doing some damage in Newport.
I doubt that very much, lads.
Well, Hibs, you've got a new contract at 38 years old with the Dragons.
Don't add a year to me now.
37, sorry, you'll be 38 when the contract's done. How good does that feel? And what motivates you? You know, you've been through it all over the last 15 years in professional rugby, league and union. What motivates you to keep waking up and getting battered and beaten up every week?
It's that feeling, I think. I got this sort of sick thing that you wake up on Sunday absolutely battered, sore. You know you've been in a game. And there's no better feeling.
To be fair, I've got a very similar thing with me in the city. I've got that same feeling. The cash keeps coming in the bank and I just can't stop. I've got the younger guys chasing, you know, nipping at my heels, but I just keep earning the dollar. And I don't think I'll retire for many years. Money is too good.
Hibbs, you've had an incredible international career. A lot of that is down to Warren Gatland's belief in you. Gatland did give you your first real run in the team in 2008 versus South Africa when you had a sort of incredible old-fashioned punch-up with CJ van der Leed and Gerthro Steenkamp. And you ended up crashing over the advertising boards, one of the most famous fights and punch-ups in rugby history. How did that fight come about? How, you know, who sparked it? And who in your eyes was the victor on that day?
I was definitely the victor. Well, obviously, I think we were losing at the time, and it was a maul. They started to get a march on. I decided to grab the two props and hold them on a little bit too longer than they thought. They sort of hit me in the back of the head, just tapped me to say, get off. I didn't. Next thing you know, it's punch being thrown, and I never saw, watched it back until a few years later. I was wondering where all my teammates were.
Me too.
In the clip, you can see Gethin Jenkins look over, go, nah, and carry it the other way. So we ended up over the hoardings. I was more disappointed. They actually pulled my top out and pulled my belly out. I was really disappointed with that.
You got the shirt up. How did Gatland react to your actions that day? Were you worried that he'd sort of drop you for being over physical?
Nah, Gats loved that sort of stuff. He loved that. Got stuck in. Sean Edwards was the same. He's a D coach. He's a flipping maniac. He'll love it.
Well, that's why I think Gats would admire me, because, you know, I've had a few nights at Walkabout in Cardiff, and, you know, I've bumped into a few Valleys boys, and they haven't taken kindly to my accent.
I can imagine.
And I've had to deal with them. And I think that's why, if I came across Gats, he'd admire me.
That's why you were in the running for the line selection, but I had to pull out.
Well,
talking about Gats being physical and loving a fight, Shane Williams and Gats had an infamous punch-up after a night out on the beers after a Wales victory. What are your memories from that day?
See, I weren't involved in that. So you all the usual rumours, and hey, it weren't the first and it won't be the last. And that's all I can really say in that one.
Well, Gats likes a scrap, does he?
I think they all do.
What's his name? Edwards. We had Benders on the Nick Bendon on the pod recently, and he told a story. Yeah. He wouldn't tell us who, but he said that he called one of the boys out at WAS for a fight, and then the boy was walking out and he just nutted him before he went out.
Knocked his teeth out, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely got history of that. I think he's taken down one of our sports scientists as well.
Really? Well, can you give us a tiny bit more info on that backstory, Hibbs?
I'll give you another one. There you are. Sean Edwards, he used to come every morning in his vest, in his black shoes and in shorts. That does not go as a combo. His oversized headphones, and he'll do all his shadow boxing and stuff. So I can remember in South Africa, I was doing some extras in the morning. They had me up boxing early, trying to shred up a little bit, and he came down in his vest, in his black shoes and his shorts. He goes, he seen me boxing and he thought, oh, should we do a little spa session?
Oh my God.
I thought, oh no, here we go. He said, what we'll do, no helmets, no nothing, we'll have gloves, we'll do 1, 2, 3 hits. The other guy block, 1, 2, 3 hit. So I think, oh, right, great. I don't want to hit with D coach here now. That's it, my last ever cap. So I hit him 1, 2, 3 gently. He threw 3 combos at me. He went for it. He was trying to take me down straight away. So I hit him 1, 2, 3 again, a little gently. I wasn't chucking real bad words at him. And again, he come at me hard. He tried to get through the guard and everything. So I thought, all right, I'm not having this. I'll give him one. So I've hit him 1, 2, and I've come on like a hook into his right ear. Yeah. Oh, mate. He wobbled. he put his arm up. He said, stop. Can't hit me in the ears. You can't hit me in the ears. I got this bad thing where if my balance goes, I have to go home. He reckons I hit him with a fourth punch, but it was definitely the third punch in the ear.
Hibbs, obviously Edwards and Gats, and obviously the rope. Are they, when you were there, was it, did they create the culture? Is that why it was so good and why all the boys got on? Obviously, we've had Preecy on the podcast before, or otherwise known as No Chat Pat. But I mean, was that the kind of culture they sort of developed?
Yeah, they're all interesting characters on their own. But when you put that combination together, you know, The Rope, you know, Sean, they're all lunatics. I mean, when you put that sort of melting pot together, it's just a great combo. Gats is huge on culture. I think that's how he drives his squad. That's how he's been so successful over such a long period. Even with the Lions, after the second test, we lost it. It's still all to play for. The third test, he takes us on a few beers on the weekend. He just said, look, let's let our hair down. Let's put that one away and get ready for the next one. He's a genius at culture stuff.
There's nothing better than beers, you know, in the business world, Hibs, which I know you're a businessman, you own a cafe and, you know, a few other bits and bobs. You know, for me, when a deal's going sour, just take clients out for drinks, loosen them up and lube up the deal and get it back on the cards, cash in the pocket. So it's a tip for all of us out there, rugby or no rugby, you know, a lash can sort a lot of stuff out.
Well, Hibs...
You see a guy's true personality after... 5 pints.
Yeah. Oh, I like to see Pauly. He must have loved it.
Oh, he did like the one too many now and again.
Yeah, because we've tried to get Pauly on the pod and we've had sort of intermittent texts with him, but I think you have to send him a letter, a pager, an email and a pigeon to get a hold of him. But
Brecken's still the pigeon carriers.
Yeah.
He doesn't own a laptop, sadly.
He said that we can only do the pod on the weekend because he's working on the farm. Which is unfortunate, but he is coming on. He is.
Well, Hibs, talking about nicknames there, obviously Archie gave Preecy No Chat Pat, and he loves dishing out nicknames for his Clapham Falcon teammates and guys at work. But I know you've come up with some brilliant nicknames and the other Wales boys have for your squad. So if I read out some names, would you give me their nickname?
Well, I'll try.
Gethin Jenkins.
Melon.
And why? Could you give a little explanation?
It's the size of his head.
Adam Jones.
Bomb.
How come?
Size of his ass.
Matthew Rees.
A smiler. Because he does a smile.
Scott Baldwin.
Oh, Baldur's was just Baldur's.
Fair play.
Well, he'd probably be a Lion King now. Stupid idiot.
Luke Charteris.
Long Dog. That's self-explanatory, lads.
Yeah. That's actually my nickname from a few cheekers I met on Tinder.
And the final one, Dan Baker.
Wheezy now.
Why was that?
Because he's like Doc Cotton. He's been smoking 60 a day. He reckons he's got asthma. He's definitely not got asthma.
And Hibs,
he's just a tired bastard.
What was your nickname in the squad?
I was Shirley at one point when I started growing the hair long. It was a bit blonde and I looked rough as Shirley.
Hibs, you only made 5 starts in 7 years between your debut and that amazing 2013 Six Nations campaign, the year you ruled the world. But how hard was it at times for you to keep going at those times, you know, in and out of the team, on and off the bench? Who kept you believing that you'd one day make it right to the top?
That's it. I think it's self-belief. I think it's self-drive. Obviously, you want to prove people wrong. That's always been a bigger driver to me, especially selection issues and all sorts of stuff. It's always down to the one man's opinion. Sometimes he's not right.
And
with Gats, once he gets his steady core of boys, he normally picks his boys. Do you know what I mean? So it's always harder to get out than it was getting in. Yeah, you just got to keep doing the hard work behind the scenes and keep driving and showing Gats that you really care until he gives you the crack.
Well, Hibs, you did keep him believing and eventually you made it right to the top of rugby, the highest you can go for the British and Irish Lions in 2013. What's it like, firstly, getting selected for the Lions? How nervous were you on that day and where were you when you found out?
Oh, it's incredible. It's berserk. I didn't even expect it at all. So they tease a little bit because they come around the Six Nations every squad and everybody tries on the Lions kit and it's like, you know, do I really need to be trying on this stuff? This is taking the piss a bit.
Yeah.
And then you do get a letter to say you're in the wider squad, so that's like 70 boys, so still your chances are very slim. And then you don't know, you watch it live on TV with everyone else. I can remember me and myself and my wife were in a bedroom in an old house. And we watched it, and I think, where did they go? They went, I think, I'm sure it was Hartley. No, Best, Hartley. No, Hartley Youngs. So I thought, obviously, H had gone. So I thought, no chance. And then he called my name, and it was just like a whirlwind then. I think my phone died twice from all the texts and messages and calls. And then you get whisked off to media things with the rest of the Welsh boys, and it was just incredible.
But, I mean, obviously the Alliance is incredible because it brings together four nations, and four nations are people who you normally hate. You're normally battling against each other in the Six Nations.
Oh, yeah.
So how do they initially, in the first couple of weeks of the tour, bring everyone together? I'm guessing through a lot of drinking. And who on that tour did you think that you'd hate? I mean, a lot of people outside rugby, I know he didn't play for the Lions, but hate Mike Brown, but actually when they get to know him, love him. So who on that tour did you think you'd hate, but you actually grew to love?
That's a great point. It's like first day of school. So you all go there, and it's all the different schools merging into one, and you're like, here we go. But like Gats said, Gats is a genius. He just took us on a few beers, and everybody likes the Gats now. And at the end of the day, we're all the same people. Rugby creatures are rugby creatures, and it didn't matter what accent you had. When you're moving around with the Lions squad, you always get different roommates, and different roommates from different countries, so the Welshies not sticking with the Welshies, and so on and so forth. So I thought, here we go. First roommate, who's it going to be? Please don't be that tall, cheating ginger bastard from Ireland. I played against him so many times. He cheats. He annoys me. I just want to whack him. Walk into my room. Who's my first roommate? Paul O'Connell.
So, not a pretty sight. Not a pretty sight.
Yeah. He's not an opposing character either. I walked in and within an hour, he completely opposite to what I've played against and what I expected. I mean, he was a great block. And that's what, across the board with everybody, it was just berserk how well you get on. Commercial break.
Your dad, I wrote to you, but you still ain't calling. I know you lost money in the divorce, but you're still motherfucking balling. I'm writing you to say that I got a new business venture today that you may want to invest in. It's called Molash Brewery. For a cent, you're going to create a beer that you can drink every day of the year to make you happy, to help you wipe away those tears. Because I know that the last 3 years haven't been easy. Two divorces, one pandemic, and the fact that you haven't been able to see me. So how about next week we meet up for lunch, or you can come into Megan's and I'll get you a poached-egg salmon. Well, we'll call it brunch. And then I can pitch my beer to you, wipe away my tears for you, show you where I'm clapping because I'm the mayor of this fucking institute. And then you'll look into me eyes, what a surprise. You'll be so proud of my ties and so proud of my business portfolio. I've done this all solo. AC limit is exploding like fucking polio or a bolio. Everyone's getting affected and now they can't help falling in love with you. So let's sit down and talk some motherfucking mass, or open up your wallet and let me smell all that fucking cash. How did you get so rich, Dad? I really wanna know. Well, this beer's gonna make you richer than Bill Gates' little bitch, you know. Monday through Sunday, and especially on a fun day, this beer can be drunk by all. Easier drinking lager. What makes you harder than investing in a beer that will make you more money than Obama or Osama? But don't hide away in a cave. I don't need the drama. Imagine this Christmas when we just made our first meal and we sit down together laughing as we empty out the fucking till. Then you go to wrap your arms around me and make me feel brill. We're both screaming, fuck, we're so rich, let's buy a diamond mill. And then you turn to me and say, son, I'm proud you made my day. I'll invest in Bitcoin, but this shit is cray. Dad, I want to make you proud and I want to make you even richer. So when the next divorce comes, you ain't gonna be a little bitch, yeah. How about you and me, we start to love each other every day. Well, fuck it, we're printing cash, that's a nice place to be. Damn it, I don't think I could get any harder. I'm getting turned on by the taste of this Molash Brewery motherfucking lager. I literally could drink this every single day. After sport, after gym, after doing deals in the net or in the city. And now you know the school, will you invest in me?
Son, it'll be a pleasure to join the Molash family.
Hibs, talking about roommates, James Hook said that you were the worst roommate he's ever shared a room with, as you had complete dominance of, you know, the room, the TV, etc. He said he was, you know, worried and scared for your wife. But who's the worst roommate you've ever shared with in all your years of playing rugby?
I'm going to reciprocate that, Hooky.
Fair play.
He's blind as a bat. He's deaf. He sleeps with the TV on. He messes the bathroom up with his tan. But Hooky's the one, obviously, I'm one of these ones that struggle with weight. But Hooky's just, it's nothing around me. He's cock and balls and every night they have a pack of biscuits. And you're like, oh, come on, hooky vest. it's not fair, mate. Also, John O'Fore was one of the worst. He was so bad, I slept in the bath, snoring.
Oh, my God.
I still got videos on my phone. And then after that game, he had a room on his own ever since.
Jesus,
he was that bad.
Well, let's go back to that tour, because you played a crucial part on every test on the tour. But you started the third and final test where you were absolutely epic. But I hear in the weeks build up to that test, tensions were high, training in Noosa. I want to ask you why you didn't knock out Johnny Sexton.
Out of respect.
Tell us what happened.
I couldn't get to him. So obviously we got to the team run. This is the day before the game. Tensions are high. Obviously it's the third test, first final decider. We're just going through the moves, 70%. So we call a line out and a play on the left hand side of the pitch. I run it wrong. Fairness, he gives me some words. So he goes, let's go to the right hand side, run the same move. But as we've gone over to the right hand side, he's decided to change the move. So not only have I run the previous move, I've got the second one wrong. Oh, and the way he spoke to me, if I could have got to him, it would have been interesting. He's a little bit too quick for me.
Just gives it a little example of what he may have said to you on that fateful day.
Yeah, I'd rather not repeat that one.
No, children listen to this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you nearly knocked him out. But anyway, final test.
Thank you, Jamie Roberts, for that.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie Roberts, for that bit of insight.
Yeah, that was great.
Final test.
Thank you, Jamie.
You got to party with James Bond himself in the dressing rooms that evening. How messy was that night after the final test, and how long did the party go on for?
Coming off the pitch and then Bond giving you a big old massive hug was an interesting one. I was he came into the change room, he brought some champagne and stuff, and he sat down and drink with us. Once the boys started singing the Bond tunes, he wasn't too impressed, and he didn't last much longer after that one. He had a few photos of the boys. It was great, to be fair. He's a top bloke. Partying wise, it didn't go on too long, to be fair. We went to the Sydney Opera House. We had the after match meal, and I think a few boys went, so you're so fucked. Don't forget, you've done a whole season. You've done autumn campaign, Six Nations campaign. You've just done your domestic season with your club. Played 10 games down there. And it just all of a sudden goes, phew.
Yeah.
It just hits you. And I remember saying to the wife about half level, no. Let's go back to the hotel. I'm absolutely fine. But then after that, you recharge. The best thing about the Lions, the next few days, they keep you out there for insurance, just check you off and make sure you're not bumped and bruised. And so I had a fantastic day the following day.
Yeah, apparently you guys were still partying on the plane on the way back.
Oh yeah, it was a good solid 4 days.
Who is the best drinker out of that squad? Who can hold it? And who is loose?
Oh, there's a few loose. I tell you who can't drink is Cobasero, one of the worst drinkers I've ever seen.
Yeah. Really? He just raps.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't
chat?
Need a drink, to be fair. Yeah, he's prepared. He can talk.
Yeah.
Who is loose? Sean O'Brien. Sean O'Brien is loose. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely worth the
fantastic
rig. Podcast price.
Fantastic rig. Likes money.
Adam Jones, such a big man, he can put a lot of beers away.
How good was it to get your own back on the Australians after you'd come in for a lot of criticism for costing Wales their 2012 tour with those two penalties conceded? I'm sorry to bring it back up.
Yeah, thanks for that. That one doesn't hurt at all. that was an interesting tour. I think we lost all three games by a cumulative of 12 points.
Yeah.
So it was mental. That was such a tough one to take personally. Obviously, I come on super excited, super keen. Give two penalties away, they kick the goal and win the tour and win the second test and the series, to be fair. That was an interesting last week. I remember me and Ian Evans just going to Scruffy Murphy's most nights, droning our sorrows and supporting the boys in training because they were really much life for us. But it was great. It was great. Obviously, and then we're coming back from that tour and obviously disappointed, and then with a super. Not yet, but super thing into proving him wrong.
Is Pauly the greatest tourist known to man?
He is 100% one of the loosest blokes you'll ever meet. He's a character. He's a top character. I guarantee if you ever hang out with him, you'll have a story to tell at the end of it.
Hibbs, can you tell us the loosest time you've ever seen Mr. Powell? I mean, what's the loosest thing you've actually witnessed him do?
It's got to be the golf cart, isn't it? You party. You wonder why the police are there the next day and you find out the whole stories and you just think, oh. it's just, yeah, honestly, every single time it's a different story the next day in the team room and everyone's hungover and you just think, right, come on, let's know.
Hibbs, Archie obviously loves keeping in shape. You know, he's in pre-season at the moment trying to get ready for the return of rugby in the semi-pro world. But in 2011, Ospreys coach Scott Johnson accused you of being slightly out of shape. Can you remind our listeners how you reacted to that jibe?
Not very well. And he refuted the allegation. He said it. No, it was an interesting time. Obviously, it was all blown out of proportion, to be fair. And it was Jono's usual cryptic messaging, and the press took it the wrong way. And yeah, it was interesting because I was dropped for Wales, and then that he gave them. So yeah, I didn't take it too well.
Did you not start a certain Twitter account, Hibbs?
I may have went off a bit of the rails a little bit.
Hibbs, to be fair, you look in great shape now, and I saw you doing some jumps in the gym today, and you looked in phenomenal shape. You know, I could have taken you for a 28-year-old.
Hey, that's 20 years of rugby, and you've got fused ankles. You're not meant to jump. Why they make us jump, I don't know.
Well, Hibbs, you're looking incredible. You know, obviously, you're an icon, you're a hero of a generation, you play for the Lions, you play for Wales, Six Nations, Lions success, everything. But at Gloucester, you had this superfan lady who went under the needle for over 4 hours to get a tattoo of yourself on her calf. Is that the weirdest fan interaction you've ever had? Because Archie said he's had some weird ones, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest ones. Obviously, you know, you have to take it in a bigger picture. It weren't just me on the leg. It was like a Gloucester sleeve. And I happened to be, I think, her favourite player, and she decided to have me massively put on a calf.
You do find those kind of people in Gloucester.
Yeah, the most awkward part was it was 6 months later I was deciding that I left. So I was leaving. So, yeah, that was a tough one. Yeah, it is a tough one. And also now I've cut my hair, so it's...
Hibbs, a new game we play with all of our high-profile guests is a little game we call Chat or No Chat, where we read out some old team players of yours, some still present like Jamie, and you tell us if they have chat or they have no chat. So here we go. Jamie Roberts.
No chat.
Sam Warburton.
No chat.
Tommy Bowe.
Definitely no chat.
Billy Twelve Trees.
He knows no chat.
Johnny May.
Worst chat.
Toby Faletau.
Great chat after a beer.
Mike Phillips.
Same. But treble.
Shane Williams.
Chat.
Matt Stevens.
On a night out, chat.
What he said.
And to finish off, Johnny Sexton.
Words.
The interesting thing about Mike Phillips is he is the only rugby player that we've asked to come in the pod who's asked for money. So the guy,
oh, really? He's desperate for cash. I want to get your predictions for the Lions, because this is a sort of a Lions special with the Lions legend, Richard Hibbard. So what is your prediction for the Lions series this summer?
I think I'm a little bit nervous because I haven't seen South Africa at all. Obviously with COVID, I haven't seen him play. So you don't know what new mutants they got down there ready to go. I think we could do it. Hopefully 2-1.
Hibbs, just to finish off, a question we ask all of our guests who've come on since the first episode. We want to know, when you look back at your career, you're obviously still playing and doing a wonderful job. Maybe even Wales will give you one last hurrah in the sunshine. But if not, you've had the most amazing career. But I want to know, what's your biggest regret and also your biggest highlight?
Biggest regret is definitely not playing in a World Cup. Three World Cup camps and no World Cup. That's probably when I look back and think, oh, a little bit of a mess. And what was the second part?
Your sort of overriding highlight when you look back in your career, what goes down as your greatest
apart
memory?
From being on this podcast?
Yeah, it's certainly not up there. It's got to be probably it's the Invitational teams, it's the Lions, it's the Barbas, it's Barbers is just a whole new world. It's incredible. It's like a stag do with a test match at the end of it. It's incredible.
Do you think the Barbers goes down as your loosest night out in rugby?
Oh, yes, certainly. No, I don't know. If you ever go any of the old Ospreys boys, I'll ask them about the Tyback Christmas party.
Well, Hibbs, you're here now. Tell us. We want to know, to finish off, what is your loosest night in rugby?
Definitely the Tyback Christmas party.
Just give us one overriding highlight from that night. Come on, something which will shock the crowd and entertain us all.
I was an Irish international riding in a buffer across the broken glass. And that was just, it's too much to go on that night.
Like Inferno's at 1:30 a.m. when people know there's only one more hour left to lash.
Carnage.
I imagine that's the kind of atmosphere.
Carnage.
Hibbs, you've been an absolute legend. Thank you so much, mate. Enjoy it.
As always, lads.
Take it easy, bud.
You've been absolutely incredible, Hibbs. We'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for your time.
Ciao, boys.
Mr. Richard Hibbard.
Really good guy.
What a hero.
Yeah. He was bloody awesome. Hard to understand, though.
Quite tricky to understand. Yeah.
You couldn't be taking him out with your clients.
No, he's not the kind of guy.
Unless, we could ask people on the pod to write in, but if anyone does translate Welsh, then we could bring them along as the interpreter.
Gets quite expensive then, you know.
Money is not a problem.
Okay. Yeah, we can look into that if you want. But I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, amazing really that all his stories revolve around knocking people out.
Sean Edwards, then Mr.
Johnny Sexton, and then, of course, those African guys he beat up.
Yeah, yeah. But I imagine if me and him went out, that wouldn't happen because I think I could tell he quite liked me.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think he was laughing sort of at you rather than with you, but they all do.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you met that rugby player. Fucking see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you got pissed with that rugby player.
So Archie, just before we get into another little mouthful
clubhouse stories
of your apple pie, aka clubhouse stories.
Love this bit.
I think
we could just do a podcast where it's just clubhouse stories.
Well, maybe we'll do that, but I'm not sure. We've got to get some better ones set in, I think.
An hour of clubhouse stories. It would be knackering. The chat.
Yeah.
The chat.
It would be complete knackering.
The chat. Oh.
Anyways,
Arch. The chat, mate.
Obviously,
the chat.
Yeah, the chat would be okay. Anyway.
Oh, no, there'd be so much chat because there'd be all these stories coming out about, saw this guy in a bar. Oh, it'd be so much chat.
Well, Archie, this section is obviously brought to us by the incredible guy from Suns who's made it their life aim to reclaim the lids of those who are losing them and also sort out the immune systems in the stomachs of those who are suffering.
I will say that. And I'll say this not just because they are giving me a lot of money to say it, but I've actually taken the probiotic.
Yeah, the probiotic supplement.
On my hangover, and I'll tell you what, seriously good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Normally you'd be suffering with sort of lager.
You don't want to sit. Yeah, you wouldn't want to sit.
No, I wouldn't. Thank God you live by yourself.
Yeah, but it's honestly, it's been a game changer.
Well, that's
highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Well, guys.
But imagine a pod with just clubhouse stories for 45 minutes to an hour. We've got to do it.
Well, maybe we'll do it if you behave yourself.
Oh.
Well, guys, you know, there's no better endorsement than that of the CCO right then. He was suffering and that helped him get and find that 1% or 2%. So if you guys want to sort out your lids, sort out your stomachs and just become a healthier and more successful person, all you have to do is go buy the number one probiotic on the market, which is the Suns probiotic on the Suns website. And guess what? We're going to give you 25 quid off. Here's 25 quid of cash for free. All you have to do is go on the Suns website and put in the code RIGBIZ25 to get 25 quid off a 1 or 3 month package. So Archie, now we got a little story from Mr. Ed Scott Bowden.
Oh, Denny.
What?
Denno! Man, I'm not drinking. Just the water.
Okay.
No, bottle of water.
Okay, what?
Oh, he's getting me a shot. Knew he would. Right, carry on.
Sorry.
Classic Denno.
He says, "Dear Archie..."
I don't want a shot!
He's saying,
"I'm not drinking, mate. It's a Monday."
He's saying, "Dear..."
Mate. All right, bring it over. There's hardly any calories in it.
No, okay. Well, here we go, Archie. He's saying...
Oh, he's coming over.
He's saying...
He's talking to someone. Carry on.
He's saying, "Dear Archie and Fred, I hope this finds you well."
It does. I've been better, but I am well.
Long time listener to the pod. I'm a huge fan of your work.
Who isn't? Who isn't?
Very good point. I write to you.
Are we an award-winning pod yet?
We should be. Unofficially, yeah.
We should be.
I write to you in regard to current Lions lock and legendary Ulsterman Ian Henderson, Hendy, as he is known to his
mates. I call him Hendo.
You call him Hendo. Well, he's known as Hendy, Hendo, whatever you want to call him. I frequent...
Denny and Hendo.
Yeah.
Imagine a night out with
those two. It's a magic combo.
Kai buys a shot on a Monday.
I frequented Queen's University Belfast, which lacked a distinct lack of chat and plenty of questionable accents. But being somewhat of a rugby lad myself, I found myself playing for the university team. During my first year, Ian, a.k.a. Hendy Henderson, was just breaking into the Ulster setup, whilst occasionally turning out for the university.
Good effort.
During my year as a fresher, the Christmas social was a night of legend. Bum funnels and displays of the last turkey at Tesco were a staple on the cold, rainy streets of Belfast.
So far, so good.
During the night...
Really articulate email.
During the night, we would play a relatively simple game.
What? What would they play?
Well, I'm trying to find out.
Right, okay.
With the whole rugby club...
Oh, I bet it... Because rugby lads are bloody good at coming up with games.
Well, with the whole rugby club...
We once played a game on the bus with a ping pong ball, and we trying to get it into the glass at the top of the bus... And if you did, you had to neck your beer.
Well, with
it's
the whole,
a really good game.
With the whole rugby club.
We named it Pingers.
All right, it sounds fascinating.
Yeah, but you would, when you're around at my house next, if you ever do come, we'll have a game.
Well, with the whole rugby club.
What are these guys doing?
Well, we're trying to find out, actually.
Okay, right.
With the whole rugby club locked and loaded with standard pre-lash concoction of a bottle of Buckfast and six beers.
Wow, yeah.
A senior player would chat, "Don't give me a sip. Don't give me a line. Just give me a sip of that Buckfast wine. Why I say buck, you say fast. Buck, fast. Buck, fast. Buck, fast." Then the whole club would chant, "Where is the peg? Where is the peg? Where is the
Where
peg?
Where is it? What is the peg?"
At this point, if you had a peg stuck to your clothes, you had to see off your drink.
Oh, no. Imagine, I'd hate it if I had the peg on my clothes.
No.
Oh, God. Can you imagine it? Oh, my God.
No. What?
I'm going to be bloody careful when I go out now. What happens? What happens when you get the peg?
No, what happened at this social has gone down in Belfast folklore. We witnessed Ian Hendy Henderson get caught twice with the peg in quick succession.
Silly Hendo.
Resulting in Hendy seeing off two bottles of Bucky in record time.
Wow. Yeah. That's why he's playing for the Lions.
The next 4 hours can only be described as utter carnage with the boys as they all do their best to keep the Lions lock and Ulster skipper standing.
Yeah.
What's most extraordinary about this story is that the Friday following this epic Wednesday lash is that Hendy went on to get his first start for Ulster and got man of the match against Munster.
Bloody hell, yeah. That's a cracking story.
I hope that Hendy is bringing this fantastic lash ability on tour with him out with the Lions. He's also got unbelievable chat. You should defo get him on the pod.
Yeah, well,
love
I will.
And champagne.
Yeah, love and champagne.
Ed Scott Bowden, a.k.a. the Buddha.
No, just Denny.
A.k.a. Denny, sorry.
Denny.
Calls himself the Buddha, but no.
Yeah. Mate, cracking story. You really enjoy that? I'm going to give that an 8 out of chat. That's bloody good.
That's
the kind of calibre we need.
Well, guys, please keep it up.
You be careful, though, because I might get you with the peg.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings an end to another episode of the Rugbiz Podcast.
It's sad because it's actually been bloody good fun.
I know, and you're gonna have to go back to yourself.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to go back to your house all by yourself now.
I know. I'm quite hungover. It's nice to be here. I could stay and cook or something.
No, I'm okay, thank you, mate.
I've got a slow roast chicken that I haven't finished.
What?
If you want to come round to mine.
I'm busy later, mate.
Mate, bloody good pod.
Yeah, mate, that was really enjoyable.
I was on fire.
You did very well. You recovered wonderfully.
That's
probiotics helped you.
That's a hell of a match, actually. We played bloody well. That's a tricky fixture because we've had a lot on.
It was like playing at Joburg at altitude.
Yeah.
You couldn't breathe at times.
Yeah.
But we still won.
And we played well. Good in the change room. It was a gritty win.
But
I say it was
great.
A 16-12 victory.
Yeah.
A lot, the forwards had it a lot. It was raining. It was miserable. But when I got the ball, I performed.
You were wonderful.
Yeah. And mate, you're getting there. You are getting there.
Well, thank
there.
You.
No,
hopefully.
Don't get excited. You've still got a long way to go if you want to get to this kind of chat.
So what's the plan? Are you going to have the week off before Monday? Or?
Yeah, mate. Next Monday, live at Inferno's. Mate, I've taken Tuesday off.
Yeah,
I am.
Don't blame you. Mate, Andy Powell's coming down from Wales.
Absolutely steamboated.
Well, when this comes out on the Thursday.
Absolutely steamboated.
Well, guys, when this comes out on the Thursday, there may be a couple of tickets left. I'm not sure.
Steam. voted.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to say Steam. That's wonderful. Yeah, no, that's very good. Yeah, no, maybe the hangover's making you more creative. Yeah, you should get hungover more.
Yeah.
Well, guys, obviously Andy Powell, the legend of the Lions and Welsh game, the loosest person ever to play rugby.
Are tickets still available?
Well, I don't know. It comes out on Thursday morning. There may be a couple going around. If there are, click the link in the bio. They're only £15. And guess what? You get free entry for the first night of clubbing in over 18 months at the legendary Inferno's
afterwards.
And we're
going to be necking more lash. Don't forget, mate. Can you not forget to mention more lash?
We're going to be necking more lash as well.
It's a real money spinner.
Well, we mentioned it earlier. I did that.
Yeah, I know. But just keep it. I like really pushing that.
Well, guys.
It's like someone's got their mouth open. I've got a box of more lash and I'm down.
Yeah, yeah.
And they almost can't breathe because the box is going down. Yeah.
Well, guys.
That's the kind of marketing I like.
Well, guys, don't forget to buy the incredible more lash, the most premium lager on the market. And also, don't forget to get the incredible products from Suns. Sort out your lid, sort out your chest. And of course, why would you ever want to turn down the best odds on the market, 5-1, for the Lions to beat a South African team who are currently all suffering from COVID and haven't played a game apart from Georgia in 2 years?
See you on Monday.
Babies in the run around, hanging with the crowd, putting your business in the street, talking out loud, saying you bought us this and that, how much you done spent. I swear she must believe it's all heaven sent. Hey boy, better bring the check around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty law down. Ooh, I wonder, 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 wonder. Ooh, taught her how to talk like that.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.